think we need some musical theater. But I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well be spring. It might as well be spring. It is spring. Are you hungry? Oh, we hope so, because it's time for your weekly slice of Tres Leches. As you may have inferred from me sampling It Might As Well Be Spring by the great Rodgers and Hammerstein, we have spring fever here at Tres Leches, and today's episode is about love and the state of our unions, our romantic unions, I should say. Johnny's in a new relationship, and though Ian and I are both still single, we're out here exploring what relationships and intimacy mean to us in this moment. It's a loving episode, and we're so happy that you're here with us. Enjoy the show. Is this thing on? Is this bitch recording? To quote the great American poet, T.S. Madison III. And in fact, this thing is on.
Yeah.
The bitches are here and it is recording. Hello, my loves.
Hello.
Hi. Oh my God.
And hello to all of you out in the world. Welcome back to another episode of Tres Leches, your favorite auditory treat. Wow. I'm so happy that we are together again. Last week we had the great Alex Hall on, and you probably didn't know this, but we had some technical issues while we were recording.
Mm-hmm.
So that episode felt very disjointed. It was like we had three separate interviews and we put them together.
We
spoke to him
job.
At different times in different places. We didn't. We were all together, but it felt like that.
Yeah.
But
Frankenstein
this week,
podcast.
It was. It was very Frankenstein. And
I want to address the lighting hitting Johnny and the haircut right now is so good.
Oh yeah.
You look like a little like Latino cherub. Like it's giving, it looks so good.
Yeah.
Thank
it
you.
Really it's makes you look like super como youngy and like I don't know. It's it feels very like I don't know, it feels I don't know what it is. It feels fun
without
and like
question.
Fresh, you know?
This haircut.
Yes.
This haircut shows the power of what a haircut
hush tones.
Can do. Baby. The haircut is, it really did something. Do you want to shout out the barber who did this to you?
Oh my God, of course. Adam Zalasco, who has been doing my hair for like almost 4 years now. Actually, more than four years. Wow, that's crazy. But yeah, he is the barber extraordinaire of West Hollywood, darling. He is doing the gaze up, down, and all around. And
so
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did you know you wanted that going in? Or like, was it a, I trust you.
I don't know what to do. No, I very much am always in control of my hair in the sense that like I come up with ideas. Because especially when I'm like working, like I was just shooting Station 19 and they had me grow my hair up. Or I made the choice. You know, you make a choice in the beginning of a creative endeavor that you're like, I'm going to do this with my hair. And then you don't realize you have to keep that hair for 3, 4, 5 months. And then it gets to the point where you're like, I want to rip this hair out. So I'm like, what can I do that's completely different than this? And so I did this like not a faux hawk, but not yet a mullet vibe. And it is interesting.
Yeah,
when you're
Miami fuckboy 101.
Yeah. But I didn't, you know, I never noticed how many people actually have this haircut got it. And then I was like, oh God, everyone has this haircut.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah,
I don't mind having what everyone else has. Why is that a problem?
No, I don't
like
mind
it. It means that people love it. People are obsessed with uniqueness. We've talked about this. I don't
walking into
wear
a party and having someone wear the exact same thing. You've
no,
talked about
I,
this.
I see. Oh yeah, I like that. Yeah, we've talked about that. I like
reason-
that because then it's like there's a commotion. All of a sudden, it's like who's going to go change? Who wore it best? There's competition. I love it. There's something.
The reason I think is because I'm like, not that I thought, oh, I'm starting a trend. I knew that people were doing it, but I just didn't know. I was so late to the trend that I would feel like, wow, you're not cool. Everyone's been doing this, bitch. Like,
I would argue you're so late to the trend. It's new again. Renaissance.
Yeah, renaissance. Yeah.
Truly.
For
truly.
Real.
Renaissance. It was all.
I enjoyed my mullet so much. I really want to kind of grow it back again. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a little bit alternative and fun. And
it's so nice to just go. And here's the reason one of the real reasons I did it. I loved how big my hair got. Like there was just so much hair back here. There's not a lot up here, but back here I was just like pulling it and like going like that. I'm like, oh my god, that feels so good.
Oh yeah,
so
you were pulling it. Yeah, you were pulling your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Phil doesn't pull my hair.
Do you want him to?
He can if he wants to. I mean,
but he just doesn't.
No, he doesn't. But now that I'm thinking about it, maybe we should try.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. If, you know what? It also could. It would probably stimulate more. It would be like, oh, the pulling. Like, yeah, blood there, circulation. Like, more. You know, have him actually pull in the front. Maybe see if it gets more circulation there too.
He's like, please.
Like, by that logic.
You know, it's funny. You say, you know, it's funny when you have like an insecurity about something, and then you do something, and someone. Like I combed my hair back. Remember like last podcast, I just combed it back.
Yes.
And you could see, you know, where the hairline starts. Philip goes, that's my favorite way you comb your hair. I'm like, couldn't possibly be. He's like, I love it. It looks beautiful. I'm like, oh girl. Like, you know, and then anyway, it's so funny.
It is still the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, imagine he's like, and that's why your hairline. It's like, but you always said you love my hairline.
Esther Perel, she talks it. She's like, the thing you're hating about the person a year or two later is the thing you loved about them when you met them. Mm. And it becomes the point of contention later. Not always, but it usually, that is,
it can happen.
It can happen. It does happen. Exactly. It does. It becomes the thing you resent them for. Because it's I don't know why we do that actually. It's
I was kind of when you have something that is kind of universally seen as something that's not desirable, and then someone points that out and is like, no babe, you should love that thing. I was kind of like, shut the fuck up, babe. Do me a favor, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
No, mommy. Like it's enough. Enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want any more positivity on the subject.
Right.
It's okay. Yeah. I've coped. I'm dealing with it. You're dealing with it. My friend Thomas Gibbons.
Yeah, I decided.
Yeah. This was years ago. But my friend Thomas Gibbons, I have these like stretch marks here. And I was like, oh my God, I fucking hate these stretch marks. I have to take care of them. And he was like, you should tattoo them. You should get the stretch marks tattooed. Bring more attention to them. I said, that is spoken like a skinny fucking bitch. Like, let's tattoo some on you. Huh? Girl with the fucking dragon tattoo.
That's so funny.
Yes. No, but the hair is fantastic and it's very, very fresh and funky New York. Yeah. I mean, you've got a lot of fun things going on, my dear. A lot of fun things going on. Okay, it is Thursday, May 2nd. Tonight, there's a new episode of Station 19, which you are on. Very exciting. And today, Season 3 of Hacks. Debuts to the world. Oh my God, there's so many good things going on, honey. We're gonna talk about Hacks next week. We don't have time to get that today, but we'll talk about that next week after everyone's had a little chance to take a little look-see. But today is all about love, so let's get to that. Ian, you and I are in New York.
Yeah.
Johnny, you're in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You're spending some time with your new BF. How is life?
It's great. It is, you know, I mean, anyone that listens to the pod knows that I very much was like, I don't want to be in a relationship unless, you know, very much happy getting my life as a single person. And now I'm very much happy getting my life as a not single person. And, you know, it's funny. It doesn't feel like one's better than the other, which I kind of think is so fun and fabulous. It's just different. Mm-hmm. You know, like I feel good in a different way. I don't feel better, if that makes sense. Like sometimes I think when you're single, you think I'll feel better when.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I don't feel better. I just feel different. I feel good, different.
Yeah.
This is a testament to kind of moving with life and being open to change.
Yeah.
Because even a few months ago, you were like, I am enjoying the journey of being a single person and what that's going to be.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not looking for a relationship. You were very
declarative in the statement. Like, it was very clear to you. You seemed very clear-headed. You seemed very clear-headed about what you wanted.
Yeah. Well, we're all three of us, I would say, are pretty decisive in going for life.
Our antics, you know what I mean?
Like, I feel like even starting this podcast was a choice to be like, you know, like, let's see.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree.
And I feel like since then, we've kind of all just kept going forward and said, like, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, you're right. And I think, like, one of the things I've noticed, Juan and I were talking about this level of, like, intimacy that is really the thing that, like, is what we're wanting or, like, yearning for in our lives. I think everyone is.
Yeah.
And so I think you now get to access and tap into intimacy with someone. But you were very intimate to begin with. You were intimate single. You were intimate with Juan and I. Like, you were accessing that in a very kind of, like, platonic way with specific people. Mm-hmm. And or maybe not, whatever. And now you get to just access it with someone kind of, like it's pinpointed to Philip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly right, I think, Ian. Like, that it was really nice to see how you date people. You kind of drop in and create these really beautiful, intimate relationships. You know, you can do that with multiple people at the same time while you're dating. But to see that zoom in to Philip and kind of become, like, your relationship and see that blossom naturally has been very, I don't know, inspiring, I think. That you were so open to love, because with every person that you date, you kind of drop into this, like, real intimacy. And that, but the point is that even though you had it with multiple people, to kind of see it zoom in and become concentrated on Philip as you build your relationship kind of and see it flow so naturally has been really nice.
Yeah.
And I mean, so, like,
yeah.
I mean, you were definitely, like, dating in a way. You were living, moving through the world. You weren't closed off to being in a relationship. It didn't seem like that. It wasn't on the front burner.
Yeah.
I have to say that, and something that I have really kind of been dealing with in the past couple of months, it's like after, like, really kind of dating someone in the fall and that no longer working out, is realizing that the big thing that I am missing is repeat intimacy.
What do you explain that? Repeat intimacy.
Repeated intimacy. I need intimacy
with the same person or new person.
With the same person. I want to repeat it. Mm-hmm. It's like I've always been good at sinking in to intimacy very quickly. Mm-hmm. Whether that's you know, like, in other words, I can have sex and it can feel good and intimate and nutritious. It doesn't feel like it's just this physical itch that I'm scratching, right? Like, if I need sex, if I need that kind of intimacy, I can get it, right? And it can feel good for me. But just lately, I'm kind of craving the relationship intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a relationship intimacy. The idea of creating an intimate space that you are with someone again and again and again. Mm-hmm. A little bit of my sexual and erotic imagination almost, like, cannot remember what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of that is just a little bit of PTSD from my last major relationship. You know, it was an 8-year relationship. And of course, there was deep, deep intimacy that we had, but it's funny how the trauma of the breakup kind of makes you forget about that and kind of what it felt like. It makes it feel like it was fake, like it was never real, even though of course I know it was, but it makes it feel like that. That's the trauma kind of, you know, sneaking in. And it's made me feel, I'm working on it, but it's made me feel like it will never be possible to have, like, repeat intimacy again, that someone will want to build with me, build on our intimacy again and again and again, do it again and tomorrow and feel what it's like to grow and be more and be more. So that's something that I'm dealing with. It's a thirst for intimacy. And Ian and I were talking about how he finds intimacy sometimes, and it's a platonic intimacy, a term that I think I'd heard, but really hadn't taken in. And
do you not like the term?
I do like the term. I do like the term platonic intimacy. I struggle with the concept a little bit of platonic intimacy, but I like the term. The term is good. I mean, I think it's, I immediately kind of get, well, I will tell you what like the definition is, because this is what I read when I saw the definition when we looked it up to really
I'm curious,
to get a sense of what it is. Here it is. Hold on.
I'm gonna laugh. I'm like, I've been using it wrong. I'm like, so you know, it's being platonic intimacy. It's like, actually, what you have over there is an actual relationship. Sorry, go.
platonic intimacy. Exactly. You're just using it. And what you have is a divorce. Platonic intimacy. Platonic intimacy is a type of love that is not sexual and can include holding, hugging, cuddling, even kissing, and being more expressive with friends. It can also mean elevating the mind over the body and the abstract over the tangible. Platonic intimacy is a type of love that is not sexual, but again, it can include holding, cuddling, kissing. It's physical, but not sexual.
Correct.
And it's about a deep connection with someone. Yeah. It's
things that usually like are being accessed or only shared specifically with your partner who you're in a relationship with. And so I think when people hear this or they see two people, like, you know, these last couple weeks, I just got a text from a friend being like, I see we're soft launching. And I was like, wait, what are you talking about? And he was talking about a person that's like been in the post with me for three times. And they're like, he's all over your whatever. And Johnny, we talked about this and you were saying like in a short amount of time, all of a sudden for there to be like a new person in the story of your life, like naturally people are going to go like, ooh, what now? Like what's happening there? You know what I mean? Right. And it's like, baby, we can, it is so apparent how quickly people can't just be like, they're friends. They're just friends.
Right. Well, people also put on what they would like. This is what I want to see. You know, like they.
Yeah. No, I get it.
It's like, oh, that would be so nice if.
It is. I really have lived of a platonic intimacy thing for a very, very long time. Like I do it well. Sometimes obviously like, as we know, I have, it's gotten to a point where too, you start to almost like resent the relationship because then you're like, well, wait, like I want my own, you know what I mean? I want my own thing. I want it to be a little bit more substantial or something, but net platonic intimacy and I are like, it's good. It is how I access a way that I'm able, like it's a way that I'm able to share intimacy with like friends, with like you two, but then even others where there is a sort of like,
well, by definition and by how you have described them and how they, you know, manifest in your life, I have had many platonic intimate relationships, but for some reason, well, for many reasons, probably, I think if I sat down with my journal and wrote it out, I don't put platonic intimate relationships on the same status level as a real or no, or as a traditional, oh my God, every word I say is worse, not really traditional, as a conventional two people in a relationship, whether they're open or not, that doesn't matter. But, you know, the conventional sense of like boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, boyfriend, that kind of relationship to me in my heart and in my mind is more valuable. But it seems like you've been able to unlock the value of these platonic intimate relationships so that they seem very nutritious, my favorite word. It seems like it's feeding you. And I haven't really been able to unlock that. I still see one as more valuable than the other overall. Mm-hmm. But here's my question. But you said something where it's like something you want more. Do you mean that sometimes it's with someone who you're like, okay, I have this platonic, intimate, very deep friendship with X. I have moments of which I wish this were more than that, more than just this kind of deep romantic friendship, that it was, I wish we were in a true relationship? Or is it that they're in a relationship with someone else and you have a platonic intimate relationship with them and you wish that you could have like, which have you experienced?
It's honestly, it's a bit of both. I was obviously in like a situationship, and that makes it sound like so kind of like dire or like it's more dramatic, but like, you know, I was in a situationship in the last like year and a half. And, I learned a lot about like how good it felt to access and do the, you know, to put it like kind of just plainly like boyfriend cosplay. And then I started to crave what it is that person got between the hours of 7 p.m. to midnight that I wasn't a part of. And mm-hmm. then that kind of separation started to really affect me, because there was this very private way we accessed with each other, intimacy, like a connection. And it always felt kind of like, I'm staying at the fair, but the fair is closed. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, you can't ride the rides anymore. But you're just kind of like aware of like the fair, like it's usually only open at this time. And that started to weigh on me. And then I just started to kind of like get upset at myself for staying in a thing. And so I pushed that, relationship, you know, I've like kind of, as you know, like kind of just decided it wasn't good for me anymore, because it was creating this, I think, awareness that I did want it, but I wanted it with someone who I couldn't have it with. And like, that was annoying. And so I just pulled away. And now I just have a hard time going after it when someone is actually available for me. That's the crux of like a thing with me. But if it's just within my reach, but it's not fully able to be mine, somehow I like am very well practiced in being okay with that, kind of keeping relationship or a type of thing or the idea of relationship at arm's length, because I think I'm actually really scared to get back in one. Relationships, and I wonder if I'm not really a relationship person, you know, like I can do them. I probably will keep doing them as we live our lives, but I don't know. These were some thoughts that popped up in the last couple of weeks. And when Juan and I were talking last week, like I was like, maybe I'm just that person who gets to access intimacy with a bunch of different people in a bunch of different ways. And, you know, I look forward to hopefully like having my own person, but I also think like,
this is also good.
I don't know. I'm very kind of like abstractly aware of the matrix of it all. And so it makes me be like, I don't need it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that's very much how I felt. I thought, I told my therapist, you know, maybe when I'm 80 years old, I'll still be alone, but at least I'll be able to say I had so many wonderful lovers. I had so many wonderful friendships. And for me, friendship, I like platonic intimacy and friendships. I like friends that hug, that kiss each other, you know, and I don't mean make out. I just mean like kisses, like little, like,
cuddles, that I do know. Yeah.
And I think for me, it's always been very easy because of the way I grew up. My mother was very affectionate, very, you know, in your face, like, tell me, Evan, how is it going? And, you know, I feel like sometimes the reason a lot of people aren't good at platonic intimacy is because a lot of times intimacy is conflated with sex, and like the only way to be close to someone is to literally be close to them or inside of them. And it's really lame, because I think that, not to say, don't get me wrong, sexual intimacy is fucking phenomenal. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. But there's sometimes you don't need a dick. You just need a hug. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't need to, you know, be, I don't know. I think there's so much that you can get from the people that are already in your lives that can provide. Yeah. And that's how I felt. Like, I mean, a lot of the friends that I have platonic relationships with, I have slept with. So there is that, but I wouldn't sleep with them again, but I feel safe hugging them. I don't feel like it's loaded. I don't feel like, you know, we have this mutual understanding that we, you know, even sometimes Ian and I kiss on the dance floor, and it's just a kiss on the dance floor. It's fun. It's cute. It's young. It's exciting.
Yes.
You know, and it feels nice, and it's a different kind of kiss, because it's like, that's, you know, me better than all these other people I could possibly kiss. And it's like, you know, there's just a safety in it that feels like you're seen and connected in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see. You know, I guess I have experienced quite a bit of platonic intimacy in my life when I really think about it. I really have, actually.
You know, and I think about our group, actually, like with the Quintons and the Codys and like these people that we kind of grew up with in New York. I feel like you have that with that group. Like there's cutesy, cuddly Fire Island moments there. I'm guessing. Yeah, I just feel like you access that with them.
I guess the difference, what I should need to be clearer in myself is the difference between a platonic, intimate relationship with a friend or more, or with a friend, or the difference between that and an asexual relationship, like a relationship, a true intimate partnership, a true, you know, monogamous or non, but without sex.
But that also, because sex is only one part of romance. Can be, you know, like I'll use Will as an example. Like I could feel, you know, even after we were no longer, you know, doing the do, you know, being in a relationship. I mean, it's normal for most people in relationships, but there was just this level of understanding that I wouldn't necessarily call it platonic, because what we had built was so romantic. Like, you know,
and
you
present
know me
and
these,
still there.
You know, so like even an ex that you were with, that's still not platonic because you have had that. Platonic, I think, is two people mutually understanding that they are not, you know,
engaging in romance.
Yeah. You know, it's like we'll hold each other's hands when we walk down the street because it feels like a hug. It feels like I got you. It feels like, you know, you're my person, but it doesn't feel like I want to marry you. I want to, you know, I feel like there's like a distinction between platonic and romantic that isn't necessarily tied to physicality.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about the great loves of your life, right? The people who you have these big sweeping relationships with and marriages and all of that. I think we would all hope that after having had that, what may have been a very traditionally, you know, a relationship that is sexual, et cetera, that we could live on and have a beautiful form of platonic intimacy, right? Where there's all this shared knowledge and the relationship may not be sexual, but there's still affection. There's still affection and there's still a deep, deep closeness. You know, Ian, okay, so here is something that I'd like to pick your brain about. Okay. So as you're coming to this realization, which is, I feel is very, they've only been brought up, this is the second time I brought them up on this podcast. So for every other reference, I'll get a dollar. Gen Z. For Gen Z, they're more comfortable with different forms. Younger people today than millennials are more comfortable with defining relationships in their own way. Well, young people in general, I mean, but you know, more so than our parents, but like, for example, like the term of being a side, right? Which is really a, you know, that was created by a millennial. So maybe a bad example, but the term of being a side, which is something that's come up in the last half decade, the term, which means that it's usually used by gay men, but other groups have used it. It is a person who wants to do everything sexually except for intercourse. That oral sex, touch, mutual masturbation, all the other ways that you can define sex except for intercourse. And I was so titillated by the idea of that, kind of holding that as an identity of what that is, right? Like saying, like, this is what I am, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And I use that just as an example of being clear as to what makes you really happy in your quest for love, sex, and romance. And do you think, Ian, like, when you say that maybe you're not, maybe you're not a relationship person, maybe that relationships are not the best form of thing for you, what is the thing that you kind of crave? Do you want to have, like, relationships that are purely sexual and then these kind of platonic intimate relationships that are separate, right? You know, do you want there to be something that's kind of an overlap of the two where it's like not even an open relationship, but just like physical relationships with people that you're also intimate with, but you're not in a relationship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of like,
does that make sense?
It does make sense. And it's, I think going into those with like the clear, if I know that those relationships are defined like that, and if I could say like, oh, I have that with specific people, like we've talked and we've had that, this is what we're going to be, but it's never really like that. A lot of mine is like this ebb and flow. Like I'm meeting someone new, a new person pops into my life, and all of a sudden, like, we just kind of like hit it off, but we're just friends or they're in a relationship. And, and sometimes, like, you know, this is the Libra moon in me, I guess, or whatever, but I can be very like, take it or leave it. I could be like, maybe I'm not a relationships person. And then after saying it, I can also be like, but then I can also weigh out how maybe fun it would be to be in a relationship, but I also love being the special one. I love being the star, and that's like my ego. You know what I mean? Like, I love that I get to be, I like one-on-one hangouts with friends and people because I get to make them feel very special, and like in turn, they make me feel very special. And so sometimes I just understand that like if you get in a relationship, specialness can go away. You start to learn more about me. All of a sudden, maybe I won't be as shiny and all these things, you know, like there's a little bit of that, that like maybe I hold on to and it's kind of like not, it's just like ego stuff. So sometimes I have to kind of like ask myself how much of what it is I'm doing is just protecting me from maybe more of a deeper intimate thing. You know what I mean? While I'm really good at swimming in this pool, of it's been serving me. It, like I said, it keeps that thing we all yearn and want, like kind of like an arm's length away, is how much of that is like to protect me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know the answer, but I'm aware of it. I'm like, Ian, like you do this, there's this thing that has happened. And like,
this is very, you know, I would say this is very common because I also hear myself saying the same exact thing. It's like when you can, if you're treading water and it's nice, you can see the sun, you're good, it's fresh, you're not getting too deep, you don't have to get your hair
easy,
wet.
Breezy.
Yeah. But when you go deep, when you have to get past the honeymoon phase of I'm shiny, I'm new, I'm cute, and then they see you, morning breath and all, meltdowns and all, that is what you that's what you're thinking. You're like, I can't go there. I don't want this feeling to, I don't want to even invest in the feeling if the feeling is going to go away. And that,
and especially if you had it and it is no longer
correct. And that's where the self-preservation comes in, because you're like, I'm not going to put myself in that situation again because it hurts. And it's like when you touch the stove and it burns, but I would say that a lot of gay men feel that way because so many of us are told from an early age, if you were just this way, it would be better. If you were just that way, it would be better. So we are always constantly protecting that inner child from being told, oh, I love you, but look at this guy over here. He is super sexy. And you're like, I'd rather not do with that. Or I'd rather just fully dive into the openness and the like. So it's really difficult. I was thinking about this recently because now that I'm in a relationship and, you know, thinking about monogamy and open, you know, like just having a dialogue about that, I'm like, oh, I really was so subscribed to this way of thinking that I didn't even think monogamy was an option. Like, and it's just, I think it's where you are in the moment right now.
Yeah.
And being okay with protecting yourself, with not knowing if you want to be in a relationship or not. Like, I didn't know that I did until I was like, five hangs in and I'm like, wait, I don't want him to leave. Like, I don't, and I'm not the person that like doesn't want people to leave. I want people to get out of my house, you know? So it's really everything that we're experiencing in the moment is based on, it's based on what we've been given. So of course you can't, like, you don't know if you're a relationship person because what you've been given is not what you see for yourself, which is also so fierce because like then you can I was telling Philip this the other day. I was saying, you know, there's certain things about you that I thought I would never get from partner. Like, there are certain things that you do just as you are that I thought, oh, I don't think I'll get all of these things to line up. But then it happens. And you're like, I'm like, I'm 36 years old. Like, I didn't know I would, you know. So it's lovely to be wrong, I feel. And I think that's what's so wonderful about this podcast is that people are listening about basically the same things that we're talking about. And they're hearing like, oh, I actually do that. But then realizing that a lot of it is just what we're experiencing right now.
In the moment. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. So to Juan, to just kind of answer your question is like, I think I see it, but sometimes life also just get like, sometimes the thing you're saying or you're consciously thinking may not be the like the vibration that like you're deep down, like believing and actually asking for. And so then sometimes all of a sudden the story gets like a plot twist that like even I'm shocked at. And you all of a sudden, who knows, like the way Johnny a month or two ago was like, yeah, I'm doing the single thing and blah, blah, blah. But then like, wham, bam, thank you, man. We got Philip. You know, and so like,
that was so sweet.
And now like, and that's the thing is, I just love what you said, Johnny, is like, I think sometimes, I know I'm jumping here, like it, we say a thing and like, it's as though we have to be a steward to the story we just said. And it's like, okay, but I'm telling that story now because it's something I'm thinking through. I'm going through that with you all. I'm letting you be a witness to the way I think. And sometimes it's okay to like let it go because guess what? The thought could change tomorrow. All of a sudden I could feel very different about how I've been experiencing this thing just based off of this conversation. And so like,
but you're also you're also investing in yourself by being the steward of that story. You're saying, in this moment, I'm thinking maybe I'm not a relationship person. You're actually investing in yourself because you're giving yourself the time to even think about that stuff.
To have the conversation. Yes.
Yeah. Like the fact that you're thinking about how you feel, what you want, what your boyfriend looks like, what he does for a living. Like, what do you even want a boyfriend? What would he wear? Like, those are things that you're investing in. And I think people a lot of times get scared of those thoughts because it's like, you know, when you overthink, it's a little too much. But I think,
you're like, I have all these questions, but like, I don't have the answer to the test, and so you feel like a bad student of your own class of life, like the life class you're in, and it's like, but there's no one's grading you. There's no you can let yourself off the hook. Yeah. Just think a thing and let it go. And yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
but I think a large part of why we feel like we need to be very prescriptive almost in the way that we seek love, friendships, romance, because of how other people kind of nudge us in one direction or the other. It's kind of like this, it's like almost this peer pressure. It's like you were saying, Ian, you post a picture, can I have friends? Can't I just have a friend?
Can I just have
you
a friend?
You post one picture with someone and it's like, ooh, Mamma Mia, Papa Pia, who's that?
Right. And just
like, ooh, she's got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Why can't I just have a friend?
Exactly.
But I am the first one to be, I say that, but I'm the first one to ask because I'm nosy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm the first one to be like, boyfriend.
I fully get it. Like, I get it too. And sometimes it's also like fun to play in on it or whatever. Like, you know, I love a good mystery moment. I love things like in the shadows of my life. Cause one day when I get to like write it all out, it'll make for a really good fucking movie. But like, I think titillating for people to be like, like what's happening over there, and it's just as titillating for me too.
It's like if we were going to coffee and we, you know, just like our grandmothers before us when they would get together with their girlfriends, like Luisel, you saw what's his name? He was hanging out with that girl, and you know, you don't know a thing, but you're making up this story because it's fun and it's exciting. And said, oh, could he possibly have a new beau? That's so exciting, Luke. Oh, I can't wait to see who it could possibly be. Right now, we get an arm. Maybe tomorrow, we get a chin. Like it's you're watching people's stories in real time. It's everyone's reality show, and
yeah,
I think it's so fun.
Soft lunging is kind of annoying.
It is annoying. I'm like,
it's kind of annoying.
I hate, I don't mind
just
people.
Lunch.
Well, there's like so many different approaches to why people soft launch or why people, you know, people are like, I don't know. Yeah. I want to share this, but I don't want to put the fucking chum in the water, you know? Or for the
put the
sharks.
Chum, put the what in the water? Put the chum in the water. I've never heard
this. Chum in the water for the
idiom. I've never heard this one.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. Chum is basically fish food. Like it's, it's basically what the fish eat, what the sharks are eating when they throw it in fish heads, like chopped up. Yeah,
yeah, so when you say, you can also say like there's blood and they can smell the blood in the water.
They can smell the blood
in the
water.
That one I know.
You see a new gay in a photo and everybody else you know, and all of a sudden there's a one little head and you're like, who's that?
Uh-huh. You know, you two are famous, so I want to ask you both this question. You tell me if this is true or not, okay?
Okay.
People say this and I just don't believe it. What? People say like, oh yeah, I don't post my boyfriend because people then start sliding into his DMs, and once they find out he's my boyfriend, they want him.
Absolutely.
Do people do that?
Sweetheart, yes, they do.
Do people really do
that? When I let me tell you something. When I was with Will, the amount of people that would message me, for me, just for me, was way more than when I was single. Because I always say, when you walk by a restaurant and there's people eating in the restaurant, you think the food must be good in the restaurant. I want to try what's in that restaurant. But when you see a diner with one person inside, you go, oh, must be a C
yeah,
rating.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very normal.
You know, it's true. You know, when Jack broke up with me, we had my ex, the day that he did it. We were in the house. I just got him back from Fire Island. It was a very emotional day. And I looked at him and I said, Jack, I cannot believe you have done this to me. And now I have to move through the world like a single person. I have to be in places without a fucking boyfriend. I have to be there and be like, oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm single. Oh, yeah, it's really fun. I love being single. What you have done to me, I will never forgive you for this. Because... you are right. Because here's the thing. Being single is fabulous. I actually love it.
After what you just said, I'm over here like...
I was hurting.
Are you judging me?
I was hurting that day, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you're right. You can change your mind. That day. Yes, yes.
No, I was hurting that day. No, I love being single. I've enjoyed being single. I loved being single. The thing is, I loved being single before my ex, and I've loved it since. It's had its rough moments, but I do like it. But you are right that there is something in being in that full restaurant. If you are the full restaurant, it feels kind of nice,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
When you are there in the relationship, that feels good, right? Because people are like, oh my God. I love this term.
Yep.
Oh. I love seeing myself in other people's eyes, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you see what being in a relationship does for other, you see it in their eyes. You see that reflected in their eyes. It's quite nice.
Interesting.
And I think that's also the opposite, right? So if you're looking, you then for the person who's looking, you know, they are seeing the relationship and they're seeing something that they want, and which is why I guess, yeah, no, I do know that people, you know, it brings attention, but do people really like try to get men? Do people really try to, who is out here trying to steal a man in 2024?
Do people
really try to do that?
I wouldn't go as far as to say steal. I don't think people have the attention span as they once did to steal a man, but I do think people like to try a man. I think people like to see how far they can get with someone else's entree or goods. You know, I think because it's like people just want to nibble, they just want to taste, they just want to try it because they're, you know, again, like they see it's popping. So I think and also I also think there's something a little more insidious sometimes is that they want to prove that what they see is not all that is there. I think they want to prove that love doesn't actually exist because this
is
how
so right.
Let me show you how I get this man's nudes or him to want to come over to my house to prove that this is fraudulent. And I am single and everything's good for me because that's not real. And I think that it is, it's normal. It's sad because I think that because open relationship exists, like people can, this is the problem, is that like people can have feelings for multiple people. I really truly believe that. But I do think it's kind of insidious to think that because someone might want you while they're with someone, that that must not be real, or there must
that,
not
that,
be.
That what they have is now all of a sudden tainted. It's like, it's
correct.
Not. It's,
correct.
You know, top 10 things that I hate. I hate. Top 10 things that I hate. I hate when people, when you see a couple and a friend or someone looks at the couple and is like, well, I've got his dick pics all in my phone. So perfect relationship. He's always sliding in my DMs. And?
Yeah.
And who cares? That's okay. Because what that, and the problem with that, one of the problems with, you know, that kind of energy, right? Mm. Like throwing, making, trying to decapitate a relationship at its first sign of any kind of weakness or anything shows that, like, that's why people struggle with having really wonderful relationship, platonic, intimate relationships outside of their relationships, because they're afraid of the perception. Yeah. They don't want to get too close to someone. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to be perceived as X, Y, or Z because of what people will think of, of their house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
It prevents us from being more open. Yeah. And I don't mean being an open relationship. Yes. It prevents us from that. But I'm using open, not in that term, just being softer as how we define.
I also
friendships and how, you know, you, I almost like you want your relationships with people to feel like cashmere. Mm-hmm. But that is not possible sometimes because of societal pressures, et cetera. But
yeah, damn, I interrupted you. No, I was just going to say that, like, I think also what is brewing there, to what Johnny was saying about, like, when people see two shiny objects and how, like, if you're walking through, like, the shop of love, like I like to say sometimes, you're like, huh. You're like, okay, well, I don't have that, so I am like, we hate seeing people happy. There's like there's this inherent, sometimes you're like, it's so funny. This is part of the movie. I saw Idea of You with Anne Hathaway yesterday. And like, they said a line and I was like, yep. And you could fill in the blank with these. They were saying like, well, people hate seeing happy women like women that are happy popped up about, you know, she kind of gets some shade because she's dating someone younger, blah, 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 the whole thing. And I was like, but you could say that about anything. Like, I was like, gays hate seeing other gay people happy sometimes, not always. I'm not saying it's but there is a level of, sometimes you're like, well, I don't have that. And so there's a built in, you're mad that you don't. And so like what you said, you almost want to like, you want to prove that that isn't what it is. So it makes you feel better about not having it, because like, well, why do I want that anyway? Like, they're not even that, it is not all it's cracked up to be. You know what
but
I mean?
That's like a story that person is making up in their head, because they don't know that those people
exactly.
are
exactly. No,
even
I
if
know.
They,
yeah.
the man is sending his dick around to all of Chelsea. We don't know. We don't know what's going on at home. Sometimes there's people that are super lovey dovey, monogamous, you know, never done. And they're doing sniffies on, you know, with a mask on and a thing. And so I don't know. I just feel like it's
they're lying.
But I also think like, it's like, I always say like, when you're over there, you're not here, you know? And also like operating, I mean, this is a daily practice. I'm not going to sit here and act like anytime I see it, I've seen a couple that I'm like, I'm not gonna know. Most times I think that because I know that relationship has nothing to do with me. Sometimes I want it to do with me. And if it doesn't, it's fine, whatever. But I think when I'm over there thinking about those people, I'm not investing in me and knowing that I deserve that shit. Like, fucking deserve that shit. And it's not, and I don't say that like, how dare they? It's like, of course, I love what they have because I want something that is tailor made for me.
Yeah.
And, but also like, if it, you know, and that, I think what I mean by fear-based is like, will it ever come? Maybe it will never come. Maybe when it does come, it won't be as fun as that looks. Maybe I'll feel, you know, it's just very human to like weigh the pros and cons of things.
Yeah.
And it's easy. I feel like it's an easy way out to be like, that ain't real. It's easy because you don't have to think it is, maybe it is real and maybe I want that. Like,
sure. It may be not everything is as it seems.
Yeah.
I would say that about anything for sure, but that it is real and happening, I think is the hardest thing for a person to kind of contend with if you're having that kind of a visceral reaction to someone in relationship, obviously context, depending on what that is, it's, you may not like it, but what is happening there is real. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, yeah, even like, you know, sometimes you say like, that's my, like the fact that you can even check in, like sometimes you're like, well, when I feel bad and then I know it's just ego. And like a lot of people don't know it's just ego or that they're having a reaction to something because of how their own feelings. Like I've been on the couch on TikTok before and like I see two couples and I'm like, fucking dance wasn't even cute. Like, and that's not true. Like, I'm just saying that because like, oh, that made me feel better to be like that. Yeah. And that is like truly the internet as a whole. Like, you know, people are just like, you know, but I think having the internal dialogue to be like, you need to go outside, go for a walk. You're not feeling
better
good
at that. Yeah. I want to be better about like not muting people who trigger a possible, like, I don't have that yet. Or like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like muting relationships online for me, actually, like I do it because why do I do it? Am I doing it because I'm jealous? I don't want to see it. Is there
it's triggering and you don't want to have to be, you force yourself to look at people who have something that you really want or something you're, you know, I don't want to see that. I just watched the comeback this morning. Anyway, so no, to your point. See, here's the thing.
Exposure
used to be very
therapy?
Militant.
Go.
Huh?
Should I be doing exposure therapy? Like, should I not be muting?
I used to be very unsupportive of muting or deleting apps. I'll give you an example. We talked about this way back. But if someone would be like, I deleted Grindr. Or I unfollowed this person, I'd be like, you know, if it's someone who's doesn't matter to you, right? Like, of course, who cares? But it's like, you know, how do I phrase this elegantly? Sure. You can organize your internet as best as you can, right? And you can delete and unfollow anyone who doesn't bring you joy. I get that. But it's also like, maybe we should learn to be okay with seeing their successes and their this. It's a kind of exposure therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And although I used to be very against blocking people, unfollowing, deleting apps, because it was kind of like you should build up your stamina and your wherewithal, I've softened. My opinion on that has softened. Many years ago, I would have given you advice to just keep it there. Like, who the fuck cares? But I do see that there are instances in which it's better to unfollow someone.
Yeah, I mean, and we also live in a world where like, the option is there we didn't used to have this. Like we didn't see what was going on states away, things
in
happening
else's house.
Exactly. Like, and so, you know, to me, I think like that kind of protection, and for listeners, if you find yourself like in, you know, if you find yourself seeing yourself through our voices right now and some of these stories that we're telling, like, it's very helpful to use those tools to protect yourself, because you wanna move through the world being able to just like kind of be with you, and muting sometimes is kind of what you need to do. You know what I mean?
You know what I would say? Like, this isn't a counterpoint. This is more of a like kind of a step further. I would say people online are triggering you that much that you need to mute them. In terms of like their relate or just them existing, like if they're a cunt and they're posting negative, harmful shit, that's one thing. But if they're just existing, I would say maybe delete the app for a little bit, in order to, because everything's just at us all the time. It's not just the couple. It's the couple plus, you know, what's going on in the world plus this. It's like you're constantly bombarded with things that are going to trigger you. It's not just the relationship stuff. So I would say, like, muting, yes, I've done it. I think it is helpful. there have been times when I muted someone and I'm like, wait, what happened to that person? Oh, okay. I'm over it. And I'll unmute.
Yeah.
You know, or there's times where I'll just get off the app for a month, like we've talked about before, and I'll get back on and I'll feel like, oh my God, it's so nice to see these two. I haven't seen these cast of characters in a while.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So I think, like you said, however your mental health needs to be supported, you support that shit.
You know what? That's why I'm muting. I'm actually muting because I want to like you later. You know what I mean? Right now, I have to contend with a couple things, but I'm doing this so that we get along and have a good time in the future.
But you can't mute in lieu of that conversation with yourself, as to why you're muting. You can, it's a two part mute until you can understand why it is that these two people are bothering you so much that it's affecting you. You know what I mean? Because you're doing that to yourself. You know what I mean? Like you're choosing to feel bad about that. They're not saying, hey, Ian, did you see? Because they're basically saying that to all their followers. Like, hey, did you see? Like we're just existing. But you have to have the conversation. All three of us, I'm sure, have done this where we're like, why am I so pissed off at this bitch? Like, you know, like why? And it's something that not to say that not everyone is annoying or whatever, but I think both.
I know what you mean. Trust. Yeah. Yes. I am doing the work. I do believe I am. When I turn in the test, I will have shown my work. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Work.
I would say you're always doing the work. You're always asking yourself questions.
You meant the editorial. You didn't mean me.
No, you.
Oh yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you.
I mean, I would say you're always estaparelling and you know wanting to learn more about your.
And I'm still fucked up. Where is it getting me? God, I just want to get there.
What does Barbara Streisand say when being interviewed in 60 Minutes? And he says to her, "You've been in therapy for 45 years. What is there left to learn?" And she goes, "I'm a slow learner." And it's kind of true. You know, there's a lot to learn and a lot to figure out. It's okay.
But learning never ends. That's I was literally talking to Philip's 93-year-old, she'll be 93 next week.
Oh my God. I
was talking to her about the fact that and she stays curious. Like she knows who Zendaya is. Like she's with it.
Oh, it's a crucial. It's so important.
I told her, I was like, you know, all I know is that I'll never know enough. And that is so freeing because when you know for sure that you don't know it all, there's so much room to know more. But when you think, when people say shit like this bothers me to no end, when people are like, that's just how I am. I'm like,
Oh my God.
That's just how you're choosing to be.
Immediate electric chair. Immediate electric chair.
That's why I hate people who speak in absolutes. People who speak in that absolute kind of way are very they like turn me off because I go, I'm not able to connect with you about like the world because you have such
honey, if anyone speaks in an absolute, I'm like, you know, no, it's this.
Yeah, I know. That's why I want to kill you sometimes.
Yeah, no, but
I like a declarative statement.
But that's the thing. For sure. That's why I say like you're not, no one's perfect. Like I know that I'll never know enough, but if I'm backed into a corner, bitch, you better believe I know it.
She knows how to defend herself.
Yeah, of course. But then it's like, oh wait, I was wrong about that. It's just human. Mm-hmm. It's human nature. And I feel like, you know, it's all about just learning and growing and, you know, it is what it is.
So this has been a very nutritious discussion, but I have a spilled milk for you from me to you. I want your advice.
Ooh.
A coho spilled milk.
It's a coho spilled milk.
Is this a first? A first?
Yeah, I think it is a first. I think it's a first. Of course. Yeah, I think it's
definitely on the air.
It's definitely a first. So here's my situation. I feel like at what point, okay, so I'm very much trying to be a very go with the flow person right now when it comes to these men that I'm dating. I am in no terrific rush to be in a relationship with someone.
Yeah.
But I am working toward that. But I'm not in like a terrific rush, right? It's not like it has to be, I need an answer by the end of this week. But so I'm really trying to follow their lead. But there's a saying in Spanish that I love. It's a Cuban saying. De buena gente se pasa come mierda. From being nice and understanding, you can quickly be a person who's just eating shit and being taken advantage of.
Eating shit.
And eating shit. And not in the good way.
Eating shit.
We're just eating shit, bro.
I'm just going to verify you. I'm just going to be verify you. Go.
At what point is it like, okay, do I get to start making demands? Is it like, I need this level of communication? When you're dating someone, at what point do you get to start saying, okay, this is what I want to be working toward. Are you there with me?
It's hard without context.
Okay, I'll give you a little context. So he's a great guy. We've been dating, but I feel like there's good communication overall, but he's very, 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 very busy and very dedicated to his work, works in tech and like has, you know, a very big corporate job. And I get that that pulls him away. But I wonder if maybe his interest is waning when the communication isn't good.
Do you really feel that, or are you jumping to that because
I think I'm jumping to that.
That's what I mean. Is
I think I'm jumping to that.
The key word was feel.
Correct.
So that is your feeling. I will say that people are busy. People are busy.
Se cae la cámara. Wait, I'm sorry. Okay. Sure, you're right. People are busy. I'm super busy, which is why, like, I get it. Which is why I'm still here and not, I haven't abandoned the ship.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. But I guess my question really is, when I feel like in a lot of my relationships, as of late, even with my ex, mm-hmm. I make a lot of excuses for men. I allow them to be them. Mm-hmm. I allow them to do whatever the hell they want, whatever they need to do, whenever they need to do it. And I'm patient. I'll wait. We can make it work. Mm-hmm. And
it's a beautiful thing. It's very nice of you. That's a feature, not a glitch, by the way.
It is. I think it is a feature. But I also worry that it will leave me empty-handed. I know that there are people who are very aggressive, right? They give like Gemini energy, right? Like in a relationship where they like make demands and they're kind of a little bit toxic. I try to be anti-toxic in all relationships, especially with men. But I think I need to become a little bit more toxic.
What's the opposite of toxic? Sorry. What would be the opposite word to toxic?
Like the healthy? Antonym to toxic would be healthy. What? Or nutritious. Let's look it up, actually.
The reason I ask is because when people say like the anti-toxic, or they, you know, they say the thing I am not going to be, blah, 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 all you just, but the last words you just said are the thing you don't want to be. So how about we plug in, this is
I think also you're having this internal dialogue of how you're going to approach things without just approaching them the way that you want to. You're editing your approach in order to suit someone else when your approach should be suiting you. If you need more communication, you ask for more communication.
Or you communicate more. You do the thing that you want to see more of.
But also,
I'm trying.
If you get a whiff of someone not putting in as much effort as you'd like, you just need to move on. I think what I started doing, there was like a moment last year when I had a really big crush on someone and I was like, okay, well maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's this. And it just turned out that they weren't really into me in the way that I wanted them to be. And I vowed to myself, I will never do this again. Like I'm not going to sit at my house and think about what they possibly think about me. I will allow them to show me when they're face to face and when they want to text me. But baby, I'm moving on. And that's why I was like dating so much different people, was because I wasn't allowing anyone to take up too much of my time. I wasn't putting too many eggs in one basket. And it is a little stressful because you're like, oh, now I feel like I'm being that person that can't show up for one individual, but you can, you just have to, you know, be, something true Jason Sherwood always would say to me, I love that you honor your word when you say you're going to do something, you know? Mm. And I think that's all you can really do, you know? But to sit and think about, oh, let me tamper down a little bit of how I'm feeling or what I want based on, you know, the needs of someone else at this early stage, I think is only going to get in the way of what you really do desire.
And to piggyback on that, if you're asking the question, you're like, when is the time to do the thing, blah, blah, blah. It to me says, it sounds like you want to ask that. It sounds like you want to do that thing. Like, you know, this spilled milk specifically, you coming to us asking, mm-hmm. like, when do you think is a good time? We could do a general when we think, but like we said, there's no one size fits all
of course.
Way that anything is happening. Context is everything. And so specifically with you, I would say you're such a good communicator. You've always been really good at taking care of the way you treat people and the way you speak to them. And no matter what, whenever you decide, I think anyone would be lucky to receive a clarifying paragraph, a question, a meaningful thought around where you and that person are at in their relationship. Anyone would be lucky to be able to have that kind of talk with you. I'm being really serious. Like, I just, because I just know that people inherently, if they're dating you to begin with, they are falling in love with bits of you no matter what, even mm-hmm. if logistically it doesn't happen and you don't end up together, this or that. But there's a mark you leave on people, Juan, that I think is the most magical thing about you. It's like, mm-hmm. it's literally like, it is indescribable. And so no matter what, I don't really think, and I'm not to discount your experience or valid, like whatever, invalidate feelings that pop up. But like, I just don't really think anyone could ever be upset or you should have to worry about being, being seen differently for how you speak to someone, because it actually just, it just shows that you care. And I think people will walk away being like, I just love that this person thinks of me capable of receiving information from them in this way. Does that make sense?
It does. It's very helpful. That warmed my heart. But I think I can do that. I just have to be,
Next time you see someone, and also like, I've been like thinking about this lately. It's like when you don't follow up with someone, even with friends, when you don't follow up, when you had a good time and you wait to see, like, you know, you wait and you don't have to, it's like, I don't know. It's just so difficult because you don't want things to feel like you're really doing something. Like, I'm not going to text him back. No, it's
so
just
heavy-handed,
giving things space. Like, I've noticed that men like things to feel casual until they don't. Like, men like to feel like, oh, we're just hanging out, until it's like, you're the only person I want to hang out with. You know, like, there's some of us that are like lovers. Like, we meet someone, we have an amazing time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I want to be with this person again. And then there's some people that are like, I really enjoyed that. I have bingo on Wednesday, and that's really important. Like, I would say sometimes it's really attractive when someone has other things to do and you are not the most important thing. That's a really healthy person. I mean, there's that. And then there's the people that are not interested. And the only way to find out really is to put the ball in their court and let them play, you know?
I think that's really insightful. Because I think if I had to describe what the issue is, I think that I defer to men all too much. Mm. And in that deference, we get a lot of warmth, and we build, you can build intimacy, everything's great, but then what happens is I don't necessarily get what I want from something.
Yeah.
Do you ever say like something like to the effect of, no worries if not?
I do say that, yeah.
Don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say that.
Yeah, I definitely say that.
You're giving them the power to, you know what I mean? Like you're saying, no, Wednesday or Thursday, whichever you say, I can do Wednesday at 8 p.m. If they can't do that, okay, well, you let me know when you can. And then that gives them the room to say, let's do Thursday at 8. Perfect. Because you could have already done Wednesday or Thursday, but you're saying, you know, not Wednesday or Thursday, but no worries if not, because you're not a no worries if not, bitch. See? I am worried if not. You know what I'm saying?
I guess that's the question. Sometimes is like, are you worried? Sometimes people really mean it. Some people are like, truly, I'm a busy girl. I can fit you in here. But literally like, what if people are using it and it's actually in their favor because it's a sexy indifference in a way? You know what I mean?
Well, I guess that's where you have to use your emotional intelligence, like really decide when you're doing it too much.
Thank you.
When you're doing it so that it actually is helpful to a person, and when you're doing it, so that it's actually helpful to a person, when you're doing it so that they can just take advantage of you.
A man can always tell when you're trying to make it work because you want to see them, and when you're really just whatever, like they can. We're so smart. We know when someone wants us and they're making it work, or when they're like, yeah, I don't have anything to do this week. Like, you let me know. Like, we know when people are like into us, you know? So it's not about not appearing into someone. It's just about being honest. Like, I actually prefer Wednesday. And if you can't do Wednesday, I guess Thursday will be fine. You know, like you're the bitch that they want to be around, not the other way around, you know?
Okay.
I do love that you always remind us. Yeah. I do. Like, I love these talks because sometimes when I hear Johnny, you say that, I think I get a little like, that's not how, no, that's not, but like it, I have a hard time owning my own power a lot of the time. Like I kind of like Juan am very diplomatic, you know, like, or just, I'm just the ultimate diplomat in that way. Maybe overly caring to someone else and deferring to men in that kind of way. And I always love being reminded of like, no, baby, like it's you.
If they don't think it's you, another bitch will.
Yeah. Yes. I know. You're right.
There's an abundance of bitches.
There's an abundance of bitches, but then we're worried that we're not going to be other people's choice. Like, but we know there's someone's choice because I'm picking different choices all the time. Like, it's such a crazy.
And you girls live in New York City, honey. If there ain't one thing, there's choice.
That is so true. And listeners, we thank you for choosing us. We love you so much. We have to go. This was wonderful. Such a great episode. And we're so happy that you shared with us. Find some intimacy and some love this spring. Go out there and love yourself. Love on other people. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Love you. Bye.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Should I stop it?
Yes, you stop it. Oh my goodness, the exhaustion just from talking. We've done nothing and I'm exhausted.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.